Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve is Australian Open tennis. World number one Novak Djokovic and fourth-ranked Alexander Zverev both advanced Thursday, day four of the year's first major tennis tournament. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne.
In the wee small hours of the morning when all the world is fast asleep, Novak Djokovic and Alexander Zverev were still playing matches that eventually saw them reach the third round. Zverev was up two sets to love playing Jeremy Chardy, but the fourth-seeded German suffered a lapse and allowed the Frenchman back into the match. His stoic coach, Ivan Lendl, as expected, showed no emotion, but he was probably not happy that such an advantage was being whittled away. Zverev was getting a bit frustrated, but he managed to steady the ship and in the fifth raced to a 5-love lead before closing out the match 7-6, 6-4, 5-7, 6-7, 6-1. He would play unheralded Aussie Alex Bolt. The 26-year-old has quite a story. He got fed up of his tennis career a few years ago and left the sport. He worked in construction, building fences at tennis and basketball courts, and played some Aussie rules football. Suddenly, his desire returned, and the rest is history. He got a wild card this year, and he's into the third round for the first time, coming back from match points down to upset 29-seed Gilles Simon, 6-4 in the fifth. Djokovic accounted for Joe Wilfried Tsonga for the 17th time in 23 matches, and Novak will take on rising Canadian lefty Denis Shapovalov.
Talented tennis player, but also how he goes about his professionalism, his commitments, and how he deals with pressure and how confident he is on the court. It's quite impressive. I've been following him, obviously, for the last couple of years because he's one of the next-gen stars and promising young players. And yeah, he's very pumped. He brings a lot of energy to the court, which is great to see.
Both Serena and Venus Williams had wins. Serena very easily over Jeannie Bouchard. Venus needed three sets. And women's top seed Simona Halep also needed three sets to get through.
I think I fought, and I fought hard, and that's why I could win tonight. It was a very tough one. She's very solid, and was really tough to make some winners, some points easier. But I think the level was very high.
US Open champion Naomi Osaka breezed through her match.
I feel like it's a fact. Everyone knows that I play better against the seeded players. But for me, I feel like I've been at this for a year now. Like after Indian Wells, I feel like people have wanted to beat me, and they have a reason to. So I feel more accustomed to it. Like sort of a veteran, but not really that extreme.
Craig Gabriel, VOA Sport, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
I am the greatest. He talks a great deal and brags indeedy of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a running with cash.
Show me the money.
This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
The late great boxer Muhammad Ali, with a little poetry in his prime. Today, Thursday, marks what would have been the 77th birthday of Ali, one of the most celebrated athletes of the 20th century. Muhammad Ali died June 3rd, 2016, in the western U.S. city of Scottsdale, Arizona. He was born and raised in the southern U.S. city of Louisville, Kentucky. And for travelers all over the world who visit the city, they'll now be flying into the Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport. Officials in Louisville voted Wednesday to change the name of the airport in honor of the human rights activist and three-time world heavyweight boxing champion. In a press release, Louisville's mayor Greg Fisher said, and I quote, "Muhammad Ali belonged to the world, but he had only one hometown, And fortunately, that is our great city of Louisville. Muhammad Ali had more than a few great fights. One of them was on October 30th, 1974, when Ali reclaimed the world heavyweight title by knocking out George Foreman in the eighth round in Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The epic bout became known as the Rumble in the Jungle. The late Hall of Fame trainer Angelo Dundee, who died in 2012 at the age of 90, was in Muhammad Ali's corner in Kinshasa. In this sunny side of sports flashback, let's listen in again to Angelo's reflections about the Rumble in the Jungle.
You know, it's such an event. You know, you get there and we're the good guys. You know, right there, Ali Boumaye. And he was like a hero there. And Zaire people are so goddamn nice. It's a shame. You know, the country's having their problems. And everybody I met there was so congenial and nice. And the fun part of it was a guy named Chimpupu Chimpupu Wa Chimpupa. He was the PR guy.
Okay.
And he'd make us go. See, we were outside of Kinshasa. We were like 45 minutes away in the government complex called Nasseli. That's where they entertained all the African nations. And we all had villas facing the Congo River. And God forbid we said Congo River. It was supposed to get called the Zaire River. And we used to look forward to going to the gym every day. In fact, on my off duties, I used to train lizards. That's what I got. It made a good hit with the newspaper guys. When they came, it was a rainy day. We didn't go to the gym. And these lizards, these big lizards, we'd be walking across like the banisters.
Right.
And I said, wait a minute, let me tell you what I did. And I said, see that lizard? I trained that sucker. Now watch, he's going to go five steps and do push-ups. no matter where you go, you got to have a sense of humor.
Angelo, did Foreman train close to Muhammad, or were
He trained right across the way from us. And we used to spy on him. I used to borrow Howard Bingham's telescopic lens and watch him from behind the hiding spots. We're like little kids, you know. Because you don't see nothing in the gym. There's nothing to check, you know. But we had fun. So this is the whole key, you know. People don't realize to excel at what you do, you got to have fun with it. And we always had fun with Muhammad every day. Every day, 19 years, I had fun, you know, so what the hell? This is what it's all about.
Angelo, was the weather a factor in that fight, the heat in the former Zaire?
Well, you got to remember, we trained in Florida, Miami.
Do you think the heat bothered Big George more than it did Muhammad?
Well, no, I just think it was meant to be, you know, this is what happens in boxing. Isn't that a horrible career to have, you know, if somebody out there can lick you? Isn't that tough? I mean, you're a great fighter and... there's somebody out there might do a number on you. The only guy that didn't taste that was Rocky Marciano, God bless him, because he retired undefeated. And another kid from Thailand retired undefeated.
Angelo, looking back on the Rumble in the Jungle, would that fight have happened without the electric-haired man Don King?
No, he was in the right place at the right time. Had the connections, the complexions to give us the right direction. That's what Muhammad used to say about me. Angelo got the connections and the directions to give you the right direction. That's right. So we applied it the other way. No, it was meant to be. Don King's a hell of a promoter. He went there and they wanted to name their country a new name, you know, get rid of that Belgian Congo thing, and then name their country Zaire. And Mobutu's a very, very, you know, that Zaire's a big country. And I think it's bigger than the United States. Yeah, big. And this guy ran it.
Angelo, where does the Rumble in the Jungle rate in the Muhammad Ali legacy?
Well, it's got to be one of the greatest happenings, the changing of a name, government. Well, Muhammad, you know, was a happening any place we ever went.
That's the late Hall of Fame boxing trainer Angelo Dundee, who died in 2012, talking about his legendary fighter, Muhammad Ali. Today marks what would have been Ali's 77th birthday. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Here in the United States, four teams are still in contention for the Super Bowl trophy in American-style football. Picking up the story, here's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
Four teams remain in the race to win the National Football League's Super Bowl 53. The New Orleans Saints had never overcome a 14-point playoff deficit, and the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles had never blown a 14-point playoff advantage until Sunday. Future Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees led the Saints to a 20-14 comeback win.
Obviously, we didn't start this game the way that we wanted to. You know, they jumped out to a 14-point lead, but you know, listen, we were calm, we were poised. We knew we were going to get things going, but obviously had to do that quickly.
The winning push became a drive longer than the 100-yard field itself.
Because of the penalties that kept setting us back. And so, yeah, we went on a 117-play drive or 117-yard drive in the third quarter to take the lead and then really didn't look back.
New Orleans coach Sean Payton says his team is ready to win games like that.
There's going to be games where you fall behind, and we've played in a handful of those already, and I think there's great faith in both sides of the ball and the kicking game to weather any storm like that, and you know, we were able to today.
The Eagles had a last chance to win in a drive that fell short with a missed catch. Philadelphia coach Doug Peterson never lost faith in his team.
We had a lot of confidence. Even at that point, we felt like we were moving the ball. We stayed in rhythm. And
you never scored again. Huh?
No, I know. But we felt even on that drive, we felt like we could have scored had we hit that play. But kind of changed after that point. And you know, again, credit the Saints for you know, executing.
And the finality of the season came hard for Eagles quarterback Nick Foles.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough. You know, you love playing this game with, you know, your teammates, and that's the toughest part about it, is it stops.
The New Orleans Saints will play host to the Los Angeles Rams, who eliminated the Dallas Cowboys 30-22. The winner will advance to the Super Bowl as the National Football Conference champion. In the American Conference, the Kansas City Chiefs got past the Indianapolis Colts 31-13. Kansas City has not been to the Super Bowl since the very first one to cap the 1966 season. The Chiefs will try to return when they host the team that has made the most Super Bowl appearances, the New England Patriots. New England coach Bill Belichick watched his team dismantle the San Diego Chargers 41-28.
We were able to have a good balance in the offense. We ran it, we threw it. The red zone production was good. And, you know, defensively, we were able to get some stops, turn the ball over in a kicking game. So, good complimentary football. Again, that's what you need to do at this time of year.
Patriots defensive free safety Devin McCourty wants to extend his team's storied playoff history.
You know, you go to 8 straight AFC championship games, you're in the playoffs 10 years in a row, you kind of get in a mold like it'll keep happening, it'll be there. But this is a special group, and I think we're starting to realize that we have one opportunity to try to take advantage of everything that's in front of us.
San Diego veteran quarterback Phillip Rivers suffered yet another tough playoff loss.
It is emotional just because I think you know how hard it is to get to January the 13th and be in a playoff game. You're talking an 8-9 month deal, and you know, to come up short again is tough.
As for perhaps the best NFL player of all time, New England quarterback Tom Brady has only one thing to say about his success.
I just like winning. I just like winning.
The Clemson Tiger football team has earned its place in the history books as the first team since 1897 to finish the season with an undefeated 15-0 record.
Ultimate success in college football usually means a trip to the White House. Just 1 week after defeating Alabama in the national championship game, Clemson's football team went to Washington. President Trump praised the team's achievements.
You're tied with the Alabama seniors for the most wins in Division I history. And the biggest win of all came in the final game between these two Titans. They are Titans. With a jaw-dropping 44-16, Clemson win over the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Clemson coach Dabo Swinney said the team showed much more than just winning on the field.
This game, to me, is really about hearts and souls. And last Monday, you saw on full display the heart and soul of this team. They played with a will to win that just would not be denied.
Swinney says his players' future success will ultimately define the championship they won.
Our program's going to be defined by the type of men that leave our program and what to do when they get out in the society, the type of future presidents they become, and governors and CEOs and coaches and teachers and NFL players, whatever it is, that's what our program is going to be defined by.
President Trump treated the team to an unusual feast of fast food hamburgers, French fries, and pizza. He said because of the government shutdown.
To all of the amazing athletes here today that wiped out more food than any human being has ever seen before, including me, I've never seen so much.
The president later took the team for a look at the Oval Office as Clemson concluded its White House visit.
Congratulations once again to the national champions, the Clemson Tigers, one of the best teams ever in the history of college football. And by the way, Clemson is also a great, great school.
And by the way, Clemson is also the alma mater of my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, who put together that spicy sports report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association news, the league is showcasing two of its teams this Thursday evening in the British capital. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The excitement is building as the New York Knicks and the Washington Wizards get set for the NBA's ninth regular season game in London. The Wizards are playing in the UK for the first time, and forward Sam Decker says he's excited to play across the pond.
I mean, I think it's huge. Obviously, and they have the Olympics here as well, so I think London should be proud of that, and you can really see that America is trying to, you know, make the initiative to grow all American sports here as well. You know, this is such a global city, such an important city worldwide. So, it's an honor to be here and see a place I've never seen before. And I'm excited to one day be able to come back when I have a little more free time to get around and really learn more about London. But this is cool, and hopefully the people of England appreciate it and are excited about this opportunity.
And Wizards coach Scott Brooks spoke about basketball's impact around the globe.
It's important, you know. It's a world game. I mean, it's obviously the world loves basketball, and you know the NBA has done a great job ever since the Dream Team of '92. But it's really taken off. There's so many great players in the NBA that are not from the States, and that's what makes the game of basketball such a beautiful sport.
This year marks the New York Knicks' third appearance in London, but this time, news of their upcoming game has been dominated by Knicks player Enes Kanter, who will not be traveling with the team. Kanter is a native of Turkey and has been an outspoken critic of the Turkish government and President Recep Erdogan. Prosecutors in Turkey are seeking a warrant for his arrest, and Kanter has chosen not to travel to London over fears for his safety. On Wednesday, French Rwandan teammate Frank Ntilikina spoke to a reporter about playing without the 6'11" center.
Oh, we're missing him, yeah. Yeah, he's our teammate, so just the fact of not having him here is something.
Is it a distraction, though, all the media headlines about him, or is it?
No, we're not focused on it. We know it's, something. We know something is going on, but we're trying to focus on the court.
And Knicks player Mario Hezonja said Kanter's prowess on the court will be missed in the UK.
Oh, I'm extremely sad that he couldn't come here. That's a big hit for us, you know, as a team, as a competitors too. And then just having him around, he's an amazing guy to be around. So I'm extremely sad that he's not here.
Have you spoken to him? How's he feeling at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, great friend of mine. We're in touch all the time, but he's doing some other meetings right now. So I'm sure he's having fun, but we miss him over here.
And Hezonja said he's already looking forward to potentially playing in front of NBA fans in India.
Huge fan base. I was also interested even before that to go out there to do camps and stuff. You know, be out there with their fan base. I couldn't believe like that's the biggest fan base probably in the world with the China. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. So I think I hope we play that game. Yeah.
In the meantime, fans in London were quick to purchase tickets for Thursday's game when they went on sale last fall. It's been reported the event sold out in 12 minutes. Sonny, as a Washingtonian, I think I have to say it. Go Wizards! Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. And yes, go Wizards! Go Wizards! Wave those wands in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, for that report on the NBA London game. In NBA action Wednesday night, the Brooklyn Nets beat the host Houston Rockets 145-142 in overtime. Brooklyn overcame another big scoring performance from Rockets star James Harden, as we hear now from the AP's Adam Spillane in Houston, Texas.
Houston wasted a 58-point game from James Harden, his second consecutive 50-point night.
I've seen everything you can see defensively throughout this entire year, literally everything. The guys just leaving their man running and double-team, trapping, everything.
Spencer Dinwiddie's three-point play capped a Brooklyn 8-0 run after the Rockets led by 7 a minute earlier as the Nets improved to 23-23 on the season.
You want to be in the playoff race and to beat one of the best teams in the league and arguably the best player in the league when he basically gave us 60 points, I mean, that's a testament to our group.
Dinwiddie finished with 33 points. 25 came in the fourth quarter and overtime. The Rockets fall to 25-19. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Boston, where star guard Kyrie Irving has helped lead the Boston Celtics to a victory over the Toronto Raptors. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
Kyrie Irving used his magic touch to dominate the night with 27 points and a career-high 18 assists as the Celtics beat the Eastern Conference leading Raptors 117-108. Irving's efforts were aided by Al Horford's 24 points and 18 from Gordon Hayward, snapping Boston's three-game skid. Irving hopes he silenced the doubters with his career passing night.
Somehow people still think I can't pass, so, you know, it's always an interesting thing, you know, to get a career-high in assists when guys are making shots, and that made my job a lot easier.
Toronto erased Boston's 16-point third-quarter lead and led 104-103 with 3:54 remaining before the Celtics' 14-4 game-ending run. Kawhi Leonard stayed hot with 33 points as the Raptors' winning streak ended at 5. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from James Harden earlier. Harden is the NBA's reigning league most valuable player. Well, a contender for the MVP award this year is Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. He had 27 points and 11 rebounds on Wednesday night to help the Bucks beat the host Memphis Grizzlies 111-101. And two more results from Wednesday night. The Detroit Pistons beat the Orlando Magic 120-115. And in a Texas showdown, the San Antonio Spurs beat another Texas club, the Dallas Mavericks, 105-100. An update now on LeBron James, the superstar for the Los Angeles Lakers, who has been sidelined since Christmas Day with a groin injury. LeBron has been cleared to practice with the Lakers after they return from their upcoming two-game road trip. LeBron will have missed 13 consecutive games by the time the Lakers return from the road this weekend, matching the most games ever missed in one season by the four-time NBA Most Valuable Player. And that wraps up the January 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA says they are getting closer to resuming science operations with the Hubble Space Telescope's Wide Field Camera 3 after restoring it to its operations mode. As a safety precaution, the Hubble camera suspended operation after a hardware problem was detected on January 8th. The space agency says that their technicians are now calibrating the instrument and putting it through a number of tests. The tests are successful, NASA says the camera could be back at work, collecting celestial images within days. The Wide Field Camera 3 was installed on the Hubble by crew members of the Space Shuttle Atlantis in 2009. It replaced two original Hubble Wide Field cameras and was touted to be the most technologically advanced instrument to take images that can be seen with the human eye. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.